The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, GAA officials are in the final stages of deciding how this year's championship will play out. Talks are going on this weekend with an announcement likely early next week. So will we see an All-Ireland final on a wet and windy December day or even a replay during the Christmas season? We're joined by two men with big links to the GAA.
An opportunity with Bastic. Goal! Another one for Dublin and another one for Bernard Brogan. At the end of the 2013 All-Ireland Football Final, Cluxton, the captain, kicking out. The whistle sounds, it's all over, and Dublin have won the All-Ireland.
Well, while the GAA has been on hold, Bernard Brogan and James Brogan's company, Pep Talk, which aims to improve performance by promoting well-being in the workplace, has been thriving. It seems the pandemic has focused some companies on well-being and performance. It's the second company for the cousins to set up together. Their first company was Legacy, and it focuses on communications and sports sponsorship. Well, two cousins with two businesses together. You must like each other. Have you always been close as cousins?
Yeah, our families, Jim, James' dad and my dad are two oldest of nine siblings. Obviously both played with the Dubs in the 70s, so we would have been very close. And myself and would have spent a lot of time in our childhood, myself and James together, hanging around, gone on holidays, different things like that. So yeah, we've always been close, played football together, both with the Dubs and with Plunkett's. James left us to go to Bridges for a couple of years. We got him back then, which was thankful. But yeah, so we've been close, and then we decided to go into business together for our sins.
Inevitably, James, when you have a family like the Brogans, an extended family so heavily steeped in football and GAA, like Bernard says, you know, you used to go on holidays together and all that. Was it a bit like practically growing up together? A lot of childhood memories?
Yeah, there was a huge amount. And I think probably like any kids, we would have spent time playing all different types of sports. I mean, we would have played golf. I think Bernard will tell you, we played a little bit of tennis when we were younger, and I think was getting lessons at the time, and Bernard decided to take me on, and I don't know, how did that go?
It was the end of my tennis career, because he beat me 6-love, 6-love, so I gave him tennis and I focused on other things in life. So
yeah, it worked out all right.
I thought I was great at all sports, but he taught me a lesson early in life. But yeah, we played all different sports and just hung around, just kids.
So were you competitive with each other? Like even the tennis match there, were there any McEnroe moments or anything? No.
Yeah, I was probably getting frustrated a bit, yeah. I had an Andre Agassi racket that I think I bounced off the ground and smashed. But no, we weren't overly competitive. We would have played on the same teams. James probably would have had a quicker career with Dublin than I did. I never played underage. James was probably one of the shining forwards of underage Dublin, and would have played minor for 2 years. Unfortunately, like myself, I suppose, in different times, the Brogan knees aren't very very good, and James had three cruciates, I think three, isn't it?
Three. Yeah,
yeah, so yeah. I had my second one, thankfully, later in life.
You've only got two knees, James.
It's not a recipe for success when you come to the football field. Yeah, so yeah, like I think we're definitely competitive, but it was always healthy, and there was, you know, the Brogan family is a big family, so obviously my dad and my dad would have eight brothers and one sister, and I think they'd talk about competition starting at the dinner table in terms of them fighting over food and making sure there was never anything left on the table. I think as we grew up, you know, competition was part of it, but it was always healthy, and yeah, we had a bit of crack along the way as well.
I'm sure your dad, Bernard, must have told you stories about when himself and his seven siblings and all were growing up, probably somewhere up off the Navan Road, was it? It must have been a fairly packed house.
Yeah, they lived in a three-bedroomed house, one box room, two-bedroomed. So it was eight brothers, one sister. I think my Auntie Anne had the box room, and then there was eight brothers between two or three bunk beds, and then at the end of the bed of my granny and granddad. So it was a humble house, but most of them, nearly all of them are over 6'1", you know, so a lot of mouths to feed, as James said, and fighting over the sliced pan.
And what is it with the knees? I mean, you had three cruciates. I mean, that you guys weren't the only ones with knee problems in the wider Brogan family, were you?
Ray Moore, and out in the Sanctuary Sports Surgery Clinic, has seen, I think, between the senior, the Brogan men, and then the women as well, have also had cruciate injuries. I think collectively we've had over 20 knee injuries across the family. So yeah,
he's put up an extension on the back of it, has he?
He kept the place afloat there for a long time, you know.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, Ray'd say obviously, you know, there's definitely probably something in the genetics in terms of the broken knees and what happened there. But yeah, it's a tough injury. It's probably even, I think your dad would say, Bernard, when it was 20 years ago, that was an injury that could end your career.
Now, when it comes to the pandemic, it's been an extraordinary year, particularly in relation to sport and GAA. And there are suggestions that next week the GAA may announce what sort of format it will go for football and hurling championships later on this year. Any particular views yourself on it, Bernard? There is speculation they might go for a shorter knockout competition. What would you like to see happen?
I'd like to see something, I suppose, as a GA fan. Just any sort of football this year would be great. And I was talking about stuff happening later on in the year, starting October. I know there's they're opening up that clubs can go back training in the next couple of weeks in the next phase in groups. I think it's at 15 at the moment, but that might even rise again.
And for a big championship game, let's assume if it does go ahead in some format, as somebody who's played in so many All-Ireland finals and everything, how would you feel if it were you, if, you know, no crowd? How big a difference would that make, do you think? Because I know some players have said they're not mad about the idea of playing a big match without a crowd, but then in GAA, everybody plays some games with no crowd.
Yeah, well, look, we all started with no crowd, our mum and dad on the sideline, which was great, and you're delighted with it. But yeah, if it was a choice between no football and no crowd, I'd pick no crowd. Like, I've had amazing days in front of the hill and scored some goals there, and my memories that will last a lifetime with the roar of the hill and stuff like that. So the crowd has been amazing to me and given me massive energy. But yeah, I don't understand how someone could say that they would rather not play than not have a crowd.
Now, obviously, football, whether it was in the family and you guys growing up or playing football, has been a big bond. How then did that translate into going into business together, James?
Yeah, so I suppose, as I mentioned, the exposure we had to well-being, I suppose, gave us a sense that when it came to the workplace, and my background, I was a solicitor, so that's what I trained as, and probably saw corporate world from a particular perspective. And we probably believed, yeah, at the time that well-being and having balance in your life was something that would actually drive performance. And I think that's been the realisation in the last couple of years when it comes to well-being and employee well-being in particular, that taking care of staff, in particular, this is only heightened in COVID, taking care of staff, you get that back in spades. You know, you actually get it from in terms of engagement, motivation, energy, when you actually put something in place to say, we care about you, here's some stuff that you can get involved in to keep you connected, to keep you part of give you purpose. And I think that's going to be the challenge as we look towards the future of work now. How are people going to bring that sense of connection and community in a probably what's going to be a digital workplace? You're going to have a blended approach where you're going to have in-office staff, but also people who are potentially permanently working from home.
But even before Pep Talk, you already set up Legacy a number of years ago. Just how did that come about?
Yeah, as James said, he was a solicitor. I'm an accountant by our trades. And yeah, we just had a passion with an entrepreneurial spirit. We always just knock ideas around. And James came to me with an idea around marketing, communications and stuff like that. And I said, he asked me for some connections around town. I said, you know what, I'll do one better. I'll come with you. Now, whether he wanted me or not to say that to him, I was all in from then, because, he's a very astute businessman. He's quite... we're different personalities in that sense, even though we're quite close. I would be as they call it, yellow in the personality test. So I'd be a creative, outgoing, fluffy kind of airy type of person, where James would be systematic. He's our CEO. He's more attention to detail, maybe his legal background. So we worked quite well, even though he has to keep me straight and narrow at times.
So did you want him to show up, James, at the start? you were looking for a few contacts.
Never asked this question, actually.
I had to reflect on it for a couple of days. But yeah, no, I weighed up the pros and the cons, and I definitely thought that working with Bernard would bring a huge amount to what I had at the time, which is an idea about doing something within the sports marketing space.
Legacy, as I said, has evolved and moved more into the digital world, which has been amazing, and there's massive growth there, which we're lucky with. And Pep Talk has seen a massive demand from now senior leaders. It's now a boardroom conversation, whereas before it might have been in HR, which really is testament to, I suppose, the need or the kind of this space been on the high on the agenda of the senior leaders around the world. There's no borders anymore. You know what I mean? It's all about online and digital.
So if you're looking internationally, do you need to raise money? Do you need to take in outside investors to be able to ramp it up?
Yeah. No, it's a big focus for me. My role at the moment is funding. So we are looking to fundraise. We're targeting somewhere between 2.5 to 3 million to close that out by the end of the year. So some really positive conversations. I know it's a market where investment is somewhat trickier, but I think in any of the conversations I've had to date, there is still money there, but it's about trying to find those organisations that can navigate their way through this period. And I think, as Bernard said, we have some very strong kind of case studies and stories as to why right now this particular area is one that's going to grow. So yeah, no, it's a big focus, and we already have rolled out globally with PayPal and one or two other organisations, so we have a global footprint. And really now we're just trying to, you know, we feel this can be a global company.
Now, you're talking about well-being and mental health. You guys have gone through the lockdown the same as anyone else. You've got young kids. You look like you're keeping yourselves fairly fit. You haven't let yourselves go during it. What about you, Bernard? How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been tricky. I've two twin boys, 2 years of age, next week. So it's been a challenge. And Ciara, my wife, is working full-time in pharmaceutical communications. So she's been full-time as well. So we've been dovetailing hour on, hour off. We've had the granny and granddads in our circle for the last while, which have been great. So they've given us a few hours in the evening or afternoon, most afternoons, but really difficult. And I'm trying to do calls and you have babies running past the camera, or you're kind of putting yourself on mute because someone's screaming in the background. Like, and that's what, when James was talking about there about the human aspect, that's why it's and the pep talk is elevated, because people are seeing their colleagues in real situation, like what their world is really like. You know what I mean? If you've kids, your family, you're learning about them from what their backgrounds is, where they're in their house. So that's yeah. And no, I found it quite difficult, to be honest. I've found it hard to get out and do my exercise to do. I've been doing a few 5Ks, keeping me ticking over, but I have found it. It's been very, very tricky with young kids. And I know James has one kid, but I always say that
I'm
twice as hard. But
Say how hard my life is, because Bernard obviously has the two. But yeah, no, similarly. So my wife is a nurse, Niamh. So I suppose we've seen, and I'm very conscious of some of the challenges that I might have for Niamh in terms of the front line and all the workers across the HSE and the great stuff that they've done there. They're taking home, you know, a lot of the human stories that COVID has impacted on families across the country. So I think for us as a family, it's been hard, but at the same time, we've been quite conscious that there's a lot of families who've been, you know, more deeply affected during the period and have lost loved ones. So I think it's kept, I suppose, a bit of context for me in terms of, like, this is business and we're trying our best to navigate through it. But there is, you know, an awful lot of tough stories out there of families that have gone through a lot of hardship. So
What about working together, different skills, different personalities? Do you have any rows? You were saying, Bernard, you're a great man for the big blue sky thinking. I think fluffy was the word you used. You're a fluffy accountant.
I couldn't think of a better word.
Would you hire a fluffy accountant?
I haven't met any fluffy accountants. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, how you got those accountancy exams?
I know. I struggled through them, but it has been a great grounding in my business as entrepreneurs. That, in fairness, the accountancy has been a great servant to us.
So does James have to pull you down to earth on the ideas sometimes?
Well, through sport, I've learned humility through conversations. People like Pat Gilroy and Jim Gavin, who keep you down to earth quite quickly.
Abruptly
would be a better way of putting it. Yeah. So I'm open, and James, and I think that's that trust piece. When you have a high performance team, let's say from a sporting context, has fearless feedback, you know. So and we'd have that. I think I'd have that with James, where If I'm gone off on a tangent, he'd just say, right, pull it back, or I'd pull him back. But more often, it's probably him pulling me back. But
fearless feedback. Sounds like a recipe for a row.
Yeah, well, I think any, as Bernard said, and I've learned obviously from him in terms of what Dublin have done, fearless feedback though is grounded in respect for one another, that when you give it, it's to be taken in the context that I'm trying to make you better and I'm trying to improve you. And yeah, for me, Bernard brings brilliant energy and enthusiasm, and you can't succeed in business without having that, because you have a lot of dark days. That's the reality. We've had a lot of low days, and obviously COVID has presented challenges like every company. So
what does that look like for you? What's a bad day at the office?
You may take something down the road and for whatever reason it doesn't close, or potentially you've got a setback with a particular piece of development or technology that isn't quite working the way you want it to. So I think, and within my time in Legacy, there was plenty of times when, you know, events might transpire against you, the weather, you know, you might get a call from a client saying they wanted something done slightly differently. So you're getting feedback as you go in business, you know, that's the way it is. So I think, yeah, you develop resilience as well. And I think that's something that, funnily enough, coming back to the knee injuries, like going through rehab for a knee injury requires you to be really disciplined and deal with a setback. And I think that's what sport has taught me, and my injuries have taught me probably, is, you know, resilience is a very important quality to have in business and in sport. And I think that's something I took into business. So the low days are good, but the funny thing is there's always a good day ahead. There always is that silver lining. And I think that's what we found, you know.
Well, I'm sure there will be. Bernard and James Brogan, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.